ben hier ooit wel eens geweest en dan best wel een paar jaar niet. Maar ja, de sfeer is gewoon supergoed altijd in de Chabre.
It's beginner friendly. It's a competition where you learn a lot.
Het is juist leuk dat ieder op zijn eigen niveau kan meedoen. Ja.
Hallo, leuk dat je luistert naar een nieuwe aflevering van Vliegpraat, gemaakt door mij, Harro Brouwer. Je hoort het al, deze aflevering gaat over de Ozone Chabre Open in Frankrijk. Een heuse competitie over landvliegen die vooral ook is bedoeld voor rookies. Piloten dus die nog onbekend zijn met wedstrijdvliegen of zelfs over land vliegen. Maar daar wel meer over willen weten. Ga je deze aflevering van Vliegpraat alles over horen. In gesprek met de Britse organisatoren Jockey en Jess, waarvan de laatste ook nog eens vloeiend Frans spreekt.
Moi, je suis Jess Koum. Je suis le directeur d'épreuve de la compétition de parapente Ozone Chabre Open.
En français?
Je suis Jocelyn Sanderson. Voilà.
No, I make it easy. You can just introduce yourself in English.
I am Jockey Sanderson, co-director with Jess Coombs of the Ozone Chabre Open and also the British team manager.
We houden het gesprek verder maar in het Engels. Nederlandse piloten komen ook aan het woord, want aardig wat Nederlanders zijn naar Laranje Monteglin afgereisd. Je zou het bijna de Dutch Chabre Open kunnen noemen.
Absoluut. De sfeer is hier fantastisch. Het is bijzonder internationaal, hoewel dit jaar 60 Nederlandse piloten.
En zij delen samen met de organisatie hun ervaringen met je. Tijd om te beginnen. En dat luistert heel nauw.
Because we have three microphones.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And as you can see, they're not connected.
Right, yeah.
So we have to give like a clap on the table.
Clap. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
So one. Just all of us?
Yeah, all of us together.
Okay.
One. Two, because then I can synchronize, okay?
Okay, is it on three?
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yes.
It's
on this.
One, two,
no,
three.
No. Yeah. One, two, three, or one, two, three.
Okay, one, two, three. Okay, ready?
Yeah. One, two.
No. Oh, it's early. Okay, ready?
It's the most difficult one.
I know. Brilliant. One, two, three. We wanted to have a competition that was stimulating but educational and inclusive. And so there was definitely a need. Competitions are quite elite by default, but because people want to win. But also it's a very good way of teaching people how to fly fast, how to stay safe, how to understand the rules. So we designed a competition which was educational and stimulating and challenging for all levels of pilots, so that you can have a high level pilot competing right next to an absolute rookie, and everyone will share the information and learn from each other and enjoy each other's company. And it's all about inclusivity and focusing on the people that are more weekend flyers as opposed to the elite, which is what Ozone was very supportive of, is because we definitely see it's a need that people have fun and enjoy competing in a stimulating way. And this is what we hope the Chabre will be.
The thing before 2005 was that most paragliding competitions, people were flying prototype gliders, and we wanted to create an environment for serial class gliders, which at the time was DHV. Now we recognize it as ENA, ENB and ENC gliders.
There wasn't really a competition for just people that like to fly and wanted to just join each other and meet different nationalities and all get together and compete in a slightly less formal way. So we're not governed by the FAI or civil in our rules. We've always made it so that we're separate from that. We follow the rules, but we have the ability to change it. So we're not category two. We just make sure we're independent.
And what kind of pilots are you aiming for to join this competition?
A blend, you know, everything, every good recipe has a good blend. And we have a blend of rookies. So we will take 40% new people, and then we establish existing people. Then we establish more experienced people. So that way you disseminate information and share it and enjoy each other's company.
De doelen die de Chabre stelt als organisatie Dus het leren vliegen en het leren van elkaar leren, dat vind ik ook... Daar was ik altijd heel erg bij gebaat. Maar daar draag ik nu ook zelf hopelijk wat aan bij. Want ik ben inmiddels wat beter gaan vliegen dan voorheen.
Dus de tweede keer bij de Chavre. En hartstikke leuke wedstrijd, gezellig ook. En mijn doel is eigenlijk om er beter van te leren over land vliegen.
Leuk, iedereen praat met elkaar over vliegen. En je pikt overal... Well, interessante dingen op, hè?
XC experience. I'm not so much interested in the competition as the opportunities it provides.
Enjoy.
Elke editie van Chabre begint met een algemene en een veiligheidsbriefing die iedereen moet bijwonen.
On everybody, yo. It's been a year already. Brilliant. Welcome to the Ozone Chabre Open 2024. Woo!
And quite a lot of first timers, rookies, and low time, people that have never done a competition before. So, a big welcome to you. Hope we're not too scary.
Well, we also look for sort of self reliance. The pilots have to go, by showing that they've done cross country, a mix of different flying environments, they're self reliant. And if they're as well as having friends and colleagues that are flying with them, which is why we encourage team flying. And by encouraging team flying, you compete in teams of four, you look out for each other and you also coach each other. So in each team, a blend of beginners, sports, stroke weekend flyers and experienced flyers. And that way, they look out for each other, they debrief each other and they help each other. And so you're encouraging this pod community of people, pilots looking out for each other. And that's what should happen throughout all your flying.
I'm not going to ramble on for too long because that's what Jockey does. He's good at it. So I'd like to just very briefly just introduce. So we've got a crew of drivers. We've got Ray, we've got Jeff, we've got Richard and Richard, the two.
I think other competitions have that's similar to ours have modelled themselves on our model. We started it many years ago, and quite rightly, other people have said, yeah, that works, it's nice, it educates people, and all manufacturers are good people. They want everyone to enjoy flying and enjoy flying their gliders. So that's why the Gin Wide Open, the Navitar, the BGD, they all did the similar thing because they agree with us. We're not saying we're the best or we're the first, we're just saying we all agree with what needs to happen. And what needs to happen is pilots all get together, have fun, fly in a good and safe environment with people that know the area and get stimulated by the tasks that are set.
We've done this for years. It's kind of a well-oiled machine and we do the best we can to help you out.
A rookie is a pilot that should know their limits, and they've got gliders that are limited in their speed and glide, so they can't keep up with the fast guys and or risk going in the bad places that the fast guys will probably go in because they're higher. I think what we try and encourage is, yes, you're doing the same course, but you're not going to do it in the same time. So it's about realizing your limitations, understanding your goals and flying within that. So, when we set a task, we'll set a task that is challenging, but we'll brief the people on that task to encourage them to be able to do it. So whether it's priority is getting to goal, forget getting to goal first, second, third or fourth, but getting to goal, then you've got a couple of hours to do the same task. So that's what we're trying to encourage. Everyone has their own mountain and we understand each independent mountain that exists. So a rookie, you might perceive them as being more stressful, but they're not.
But we try and create a very safe environment, and we brief pilots. We have the same turn directions, and we encourage pilots to fly safely within their own comfortable limits. But for somebody that's never been in that environment before, it can be intimidating. So we encourage them to stay back. They're not going to win their first competition. And as Jockey says, take 2 hours, 3 hours to do the course. But achieving goal is, probably very important for them in their first comp.
Yeah, at a speed that's safe for them. So the lead gaggle might stay, they might be in the lead gaggle at the beginning, but they'll very quickly go, leaving them to travel a little bit slower, a little bit more at their pace with people of their similar level. So it sort of self-polices, if you like. And if if they're not comfortable flying in big gaggles, then we encourage them to keep away from the big gaggles. Let them go and then they've got their own time and space to travel.
Ik ben eigenlijk 3 jaar nog maar aan het vliegen. Ik heb eerst sterk overwogen om niet mee te doen, omdat het ik heb geen competitieervaring. Maar ik moet zeggen dat het een heel toegankelijke competitie is waar je heel veel van kan leren. En in die zin, ik heb heel weinig ervaring. Maar door hier aan mee te doen, op een voorzichtige manier, kun je heel veel ervaring opdoen. Aangaande vario's, aangaande het uitzetten van routes. En met elkaar overleggen van hoe de weersomstandigheden zijn. Dus ik zou zeggen, grijp die kans.
Waarom ben je hier?
Eigenlijk om gewoon lekker over land te vliegen. Het zijn hier gewoon mooie uitdagende taken. Het is allemaal goed verzorgd, goede sfeer.
We think the social aspect is important, both in our briefings, our approach to the briefings. We like to create a relaxed atmosphere for people. The debriefings in the evenings are very important and it brings everybody together in one place. Throughout the week we organise a couple of social events. We have three social events. And that's a really nice environment for people to be able to relax and share their flight information, get to know people from other nationalities, from other people that are flying different categories of glider, and it really is about having an environment of sharing information between everybody.
And you know, this is a big, this is, you know, an introductory level of competition. So we've got pilots, we've been doing it for over 20 years, and you've got people now that have done the Shabra as a rite of passage and are now representing their nations in the world championships, and they remember each other from doing this as rookies. So it's a sort of a beautiful feed in, and it sends a message that yeah, you can do comps that are sociable, fun, friendly, and when they get into the big league they remember the fun times and it's not all serious, and that's what this competition's about.
En dus vooral de sfeer eigenlijk, en de locatie natuurlijk, maar ja. We vliegen dit jaar niet van de Shabra, in ieder geval misschien vrijdag.
Waarom niet?
Nou, omdat de wind de hele tijd van de verkeerde kant komt en te hard is. Dus dat is wel een beetje jammer, want dat is natuurlijk ook wel echt... De Shabra, de berg zelf, de start, is gewoon een hele mooie plek om te starten. En je kan dan eigenlijk in alle windrichtingen zo ongeveer vliegen.
En niet met 50 kilometer per uur.
Niet met 50 kilometer per uur, nee.
And so, you know, this meeting you're having now is what we call in competitions a mandatory safety briefing. It means that all pilots must attend this one, so that all rules or regulations that may differ from other competitions are said here, that you understood it. And if you say, well, I didn't hear that, I didn't know that, that you've got no excuse. And that's what happens at all competitions. So you always have to attend them, because there might be some slight differences on cloud flying rules, there might be some difference in your score nominations, things like that. So you always have to attend it.
Ja, de wedstrijd is geschikt voor mensen die al een beetje XC kunnen vliegen en de volgende stap willen zetten.
And there's one of you, does that. Zero, you have to prove to us that you weren't in cloud. If we say you were in cloud, you prove to us you weren't. It's the other way around now. Other way around. So if you think I'm getting close to cloud, turn on the GoPro and I'll prove I didn't go into cloud. But if we see you gained altitude more than the others and went on a glide with no 90 degree turn, zero. Okay?
And the other thing we've got, if we do go flying out towards the west here, we've got two takeoff sites, one at Vergès and one at Buc. That can be an airspace. So the weekend, the airspace is deactivated. Sometimes during the week, it's activated, and it's called the area is called R71. The flight limit is 2,286 meters. But quite often, so to stop you going to that limit, quite often we'll put an altitude of 100 meters below that. And again, if you go into airspace, I'll check in the morning. We've got all the right contacts to see whether it's activated or not. It very rarely is, but we obviously have to be sure.
It's definitely not a Mickey Mouse competition. We set tasks that are challenging. We want a third of pilots in goal, which means that the task is hard and not too easy, which would be Mickey Mouse getting everyone into goal. Yeah, but we appreciate that they've spent a week away from their families, away from their work, and they want to fly as long and hard as possible. So we try and set long tasks, knowing that most of the pilots would rather land at 60 or 70 Ks trying to achieve an 80 K task than land at 30 Ks when they could be flying for another 30 more Ks, another 2 more hours. So we try to sort of understand that, and we gently set tasks that encourage that. So you're spending as much time in the air, flying a task with a focus, it always is helpful. Whenever you fly in the air and you haven't got a focus, you wander around doing very little, whereas a task gives you a focus. And so if they can push to achieve their maximum ever distance or their first ever goal flight, then they've achieved something, which is great. That's what they're signing up for.
Yeah, and it's very interesting for me on the task setting front, because I've been involved with the organization here since 2007. But in the last few years, perhaps 4 or 5 years, I've been involved in the task setting, and I realise it's a kind of a black art. And we're very fortunate to have experienced pilots that help us out in that know the area very, very well. And they can see how we have to adapt a task to the conditions and how the conditions are going to develop throughout the day. So that target that Jockey's talking about of having 30% in goal sounds very simple, but it's actually very difficult to achieve. So we might set a task where we want 30% in goal. If we get 10% in goal, then we've probably set it too hard. If we get 80 in goal, we've probably made it too easy. And so it really is, you know, I use the word black art, and I think that kind of sums it up.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not just as simple as looking at a map and looking at a weather forecast. And particularly now, I think over the years, I mean, Jockey's been involved in competition flying way, way longer than I ever have. But, you know, now we're using these big radiuses, yeah, and we're adapting, you know, the options of course setting to keep pilots safe. And it really is, you know, it really is very, very complicated. There are so many elements that have to come together.
You work together for how many years now?
Oh, many years. And it gets better and better every year.
It does, yeah. We were talking at lunchtime. We have no tension between the team. No. And, you know, this competition isn't about me and Jockey.
No, definitely not.
This competition is driven by a magnificent team of people. A fairly small unit of people. And we've been together since 2005.
Yeah.
In that time, I think we've only had two people that have come and gone, yeah. And that shows the commitment of those people. And also, I think having a small group of organisers, we all know what we're doing. We've done it year in, year out. We don't have tensions between us. We have this art of delegation that everybody knows what their task is and they do it. And it makes it very, very, makes life for us very easy. And it also, for me, as ultimately the person responsible, I've got real peace of mind.
Yeah, everyone is an expert in their field, and I think the most important thing is we've got friendship and respect for each other's jobs.
Are you up for, you know, meeting more Dutch next year?
More? Can you possibly have more Dutch?
Have they got more than 50 paraglider pilots in Holland? That's the thing.
Of course.
We
do police it in a certain way.
Yeah, but we don't police it by nationality.
No, we don't.
So when we open our registration for the competition, it's normally towards the end of January, and we give a date and a time that registration opens. And as a credit to how well the comp is organised and its history and its record, we normally probably have a full complement of pilots within 10 to 15 minutes. We'll have over 120 people registered. That doesn't mean that those 120 automatically get into the competition. So we leave the registration open for 3 days, and then myself and Brian, we sit down with a big spreadsheet and we look at the number of rookies, the number of people in fun class, recreational, X class and sports class, and then we select the pilots that way. So there's the nationality has no influence or effect whatsoever.
Jockey, a final tip for the listener.
They fly high and fly far, and I personally think the best pilot is the one having the most fun.
Yeah, and I can only echo that. Obviously, they're wise words that have been built up over many years of experience. But again, you know, like I just said, let's have fun, let's enjoy ourselves, let's stay safe, and let's look after each other and keep coming back year after year.
Do you fly together, actually, sometimes?
Oh, wow.
We have done.
Lots of times. Colombia, yeah. Turkey, here. India. Around the world. India.
Brazil.
Yeah. Brazil.
Oh, yeah, let's forget that.
And who's in the lead then?
Jockey.
Jez, always.
I was fortunate because Jockey taught me a lot about sea flying, you know. He was the mother duck and I was the duckling flying along behind.
Thank you very much.
Cheers.
Thank you
for taking the time to do this.
Tot zover deze 35e aflevering van Paragliding Vliegpraat. Hopelijk heb je iets opgestoken van het verhaal van Jockey en Jess. Dank ook aan de piloten die hun ervaring deelden. Vind je dit een leuke podcast? Abonneer je dan op Vliegpraat in de luisterapp die je gebruikt. En vergeet ook vooral niet 5 sterren te geven. Dat helpt andere piloten deze podcast weer makkelijker te vinden. Een kerstbijdrage of gewoon een donatie doen kan via petjeaf.com/paraglidingvliegpraat. Heel veel dank aan iedereen die dat heeft gedaan. Heb je een goed idee of een vraag? Stuur mij een e-mail. haro@hepmp.nl. En voor 2025 wens ik je mooie en veilige vluchten. En tot de volgende!